We are back again today for another discussion of the great prophecies of the end times. Be it known that Jesus and His Holy Mother are attempting to reach the world today with a very important message from on high. Beginning in 1970, they would appear for 25 years to the seer Veronica and would impart to her many insights and prophecies concerning the time of times that is approaching. We might say that Veronica was a latter-day John the Baptist whose mission was to announce to the world the coming of the great chastisement. In a word, we are being counseled now to pray, to do penance, and to prepare ourselves for a time such as has never been seen from the beginning of creation. In the message, Jesus said, "Be ye warned that houses will blow in the wind, and skin will dry up and blow off the bones as though it had never been." Our Lord here speaks of a third world war and the explosion of nuclear warfare over mankind. According to the message, this time is now. God will intervene with the coming chastisement because charity has grown cold in the hearts of men. People everywhere are murdering, bickering, complaining, the worst of it being that this hate plague has even entered upon the married life, where couples go at each other's throats and publicly hate each other through divorce. But what is even worse is that our Catholic leaders today have come along to sanction or excuse infidelity, where they now allow couples to dissolve their marriages in what they call annulments. That's what you call a euphemism. That's just a fancy word to candy coat infidelity. Today's annulments in the Catholic Church are nothing more than legalized divorce. Now, granted, the Church traditionally does grant annulments, true annulments, but the grounds for nullity are very rare. It's not something the Church just hands out like candy. At least they're not supposed to. Back in the 50s, for instance, the Church would grant an average of 16 annulments a year. Today, that number is close to 70,000 a year. And this is what Our Lady meant in her message of September 27, 1986, when she said, "We shall not accept the annulments that are being given now to so many without due cause." Unquote. Just for the record, an annulment is not legalized divorce, since the Church cannot accept divorce or any kind of hate crime. But the purpose of an annulment is to simply officialize what always was the case in the eyes of God, namely that a true marriage never really existed, on the grounds that it was deceitfully brought about. For instance, let's say there's a man who belongs to a satanic cult, and he deliberately marries this girl because his only objective is to drag her into the coven, and she doesn't even have a clue as to what's going on. These are grounds for an annulment. Or let's say a woman knows from her youth that she could never have children, but never told her fiance. And the main reason he married her is because he wanted to raise up a family, and then he learns too late that she can't bear children. This perhaps is grounds for an annulment. But the fact that the couple was immature at the time of marriage, where they made a foolish decision, or that they hate each other and can't stand to be around each other, these are not grounds for annulment. I mean, let's face it, many marriages today have selfish or immature motives behind them. For instance, where he marries her for her money, or she marries him because he's popular, or she wants to inherit his estate, these are all crooked, selfish, immature reasons for getting married. But even so, if they voice their decision before the priest that they wish to have the grace of marriage imparted to them, and the priest enacts the marriage through the sacramental rite, it is done. They are married, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, and even if he becomes a wife-beater, or she rips him off for $400,000, they are still married, and that bond can never be broken, regardless of what happens. As Christ said, "What God has joined together, let no man place asunder." And so we see here that marriage really is God's arrangement. It is God that brings man and woman together. This is not our own little arrangement. And Our Lady says the same thing in her message of December 28, 1974, when she said, "The act of marriage, blessed by the Father, must not be dissolved to suit mankind in his carnal nature and loss of the knowledge of God. What God has joined together, no man shall place asunder." Unquote. If couples fight and can't get along, the only solution is to forgive and learn to love. But by the Church granting these so-called annulments, they're actually telling the couples it's okay for you to hate your spouse. They're sanctioning a perpetual breach of hate, which is a scandal to them because it's causing them to commit sin perpetually. And this is what our Lord meant on May 3, 1978, in his message when he said, "What do I see but broken homes? Marriage is dissolved through annulments. It has scandalized your nation, and it is scandalizing the world. Woe to the teachers and leaders who scandalize the sheep." Unquote. If the faithful today show signs of infidelity, it's because they get it from their leaders. Infidelity has become a way of life amongst today's Catholic hierarchy, where they break the rules right and left, they violate their vows. Since Vatican II, they've been spending their time trying to dissolve the church's teachings and laws, so they're just passing their own way of thinking onto the faithful. You know, monkey see, monkey do. Accordingly, the ladies no longer cover their heads in church, which used to be a sign of submission to their husbands, because this is the whole point of marriage, that wives be submissive to their husbands. This is God's plan for their sanctification. This is what makes them honorable. And this is what makes her husbands proud of them, just as Christ is proud of his church when the church submits to him, because the church is the spouse of Christ, that is, his beloved bride. But unfortunately, the spouse of Christ today has become unruly. She's demanding a divorce. She's thrown off her wedding veil. Now she's playing the field and flirting around with other religions and being entertained by the world. And so many of the women in the church have taken on this same attitude where they think it's their right to compete with their husbands. They don't have to cover their heads no more. They think it's their right to use contraceptives and that the church has no right to step in and tell them what to do. We're talking about the pride of Eve. And I think this point of contraception needs to be addressed because this is a major issue facing the church and a major factor that is bringing the hand of God upon the world. The word contraception means just that, contrary to conception. It's an invented term. It's any attempt to work against conception, to work against life. And Our Lady really brings this matter into focus in her message of May 10, 1972, when she says, "The act of the union of the flesh was created as the means for the propagation of life upon your earth. We have seen the defaming of this sacred ritual of your God. You fornicate like animals, and when you sin, you will not stand up and accept the fruits of your vulgarity. The union of the flesh will produce, as the Father has deemed it. Should you use this in any manner contrary to the laws of your God, you shall reap what you have sown." Unquote. Herein we see reiterated the Church's constant teaching that the marital act of sex is for bringing forth children. Primarily, as Our Lady said, when couples engage in this act, it must be allowed to produce for God without any hindrance. Hence, we see then that contraception is a serious sin. And it really doesn't matter whether this contraception is artificial or natural, because the intention is one and the same. They're trying to shut God out of their marriage. When couples engage in the so-called rhythm method, this is what they're doing. They're going out of their way to avoid conception. They're deliberately ducking out and avoiding God. They're saying, "We do not wish to use this act right now for the purpose of bringing forth life, because we have other designs." And these are the same designs of those who are on the pill. And unfortunately for them, these designs bring upon their marriage the power of the devil, where they fight and don't get along, because the evil one now reigns in their midst. For those that would question this, all they have to do is open up their Bible. We refer to the book of Tobias. Herein we see young Tobias expressing his fears to the Archangel Raphael about taking a certain woman to be his wife, because he's heard that 7 men tried to marry her and were all killed by a devil, and he fears that he's going to be the 8th. And so the Archangel responds with this holy exhortation and says, "Hear me, and I will show you who they are, over whom the devil can prevail. For they who in such manner receive matrimony as to shut out God from themselves and from their mind, and give themselves to their lust as the horse and mule, which have not understanding, over them the devil has power." Tobias 6:17. And so this attitude here described by the archangel is essentially the same attitude of those today who practice birth control. So it is for reason that Our Lady has stood behind Humana Vitae saying, "It must be followed by mankind." Humana Vitae, of course, is the encyclical letter on human life by Pope Paul VI, principally forbidding the use of artificial contraceptives in the regulations of births under the pain of mortal sin. It was issued in 1968 amidst great controversy that was being generated by dissident theologians and liberals who were clamoring for a reversal of this timeless doctrine. However, their godless pursuit was dealt a severe blow when the Holy Father issued this encyclical, wherein he gently but firmly articulated the Church's constant teaching on birth control. So we certainly recommend that you familiarize yourself with Humana Vitae by His Holiness Pope Paul VI. You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, which is the one radio program designed to bring to you the urgent message of Jesus and Mary to the world as given through the late visionary Veronica of the Cross. Now, we highlighted before the age-old rule that what God has joined together, let no man place asunder. However, this ruling would not apply in the case of illegal marriages, since it is not God who has brought these marriages together. For instance, if one or both parties are baptized Roman Catholic and they get married outside the Catholic Church, they are not bound by any contract to stay together. So if they leave each other, they are not guilty of divorce, Because in order for there to be a divorce, there has to first be a marriage. And in the eyes of God, they are not married. They are living together in sin. So the only option they have for regaining God's grace is to either get married in the Catholic Church or leave each other and just remain single. In the message of September 27, 1986, Our Lady said, "The family must be returned to the holy state it was constructed for. We shall never approve nor accept marriage and cohabitation without marriage." Unquote. On November 1, 1985, she said, "I wish it known that this new modern rule of what you call marriage without marriage, which means living as common law, shall not be tolerated in heaven. It was never the plan of the Eternal Father that man and woman shall live as animals. Fornication shall never be accepted. There is no excuse for fornication. If you cannot remain celibate, better then that you must then be married. It is better, my child and my children, to be married than to burn in hell. I ask that all of my children of the world review the Ten Commandments." Unquote. And so what Our Lady is essentially saying here is that there's no excuse for fornication because mankind has already been given an outlet in the Holy Sacrament of Marriage. That is one of the reasons of marriage, though it's not a principal reason. The sacrament of marriage, as with any sacrament, is for our sanctification. Both men and women have to be submissive under God, but the way that the woman submits is by submitting to her husband. But as we've said before, if submission is going to mean committing a sin or even a fault, well, then she doesn't have to submit. For instance, if the husband says, "I don't want you going to church and stop saying the rosary and use contraceptives," she does not have to listen. But if he says, "I don't want you wearing slacks or shorts or working at such and such place," well, then she has to listen, because that is her husband and she is under him. After all, she takes on his name, she drives his car, she lives in his house, everything she has belongs to him. Not to mention, too, especially, that it is the commandment of God and the plan for her sanctification that she submit to her husband. That's God's plan of liberating her from pride. Today's Christian woman might retort by saying, "I obey God and not man." And indeed, this is true, but this will be done on God's terms. How can they obey God, whom they can't see, if they can't first obey their husband, whom they can see? St. Paul says, "I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man," 1 Corinthians 11:3. So he's saying that the man represents Christ to the woman. He is a tangible extension of Christ for her to see and acknowledge properly. And the way that she acknowledges him in the church is to cover her head to show that she is under her husband's authority. St. Paul says, "Every woman praying with her head not covered disgraces her head, for it is all one as if she were shaven. The man indeed ought not to cover his head, because he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. For the man was not created for the woman, but the woman for the man." Meaning, of course, that she was given to him as a helpmate. And so St. Paul says, "Therefore ought the woman to have a power over her head, because of the angels." 1 Corinthians 11, 5-10. And of course, the word power here is used to indicate a head covering, to show that she is under the power or authority of her husband. Today's feminists will interpret this their own way by saying that they should be headstrong or power crazy. But of course, that's not true power. That's just nonsense. Let them prove themselves. Let them enter upon the Christian assembly with head veil and modest attire. We can tell you now that many women today cannot bring themselves to do this only because they care too much about what the other women think. They're bound up with fears, and that is no power. But if they abide by the commandment and cover their head, this will liberate them from their fears so that they can walk at peace and not be subject to the opinion of man. And that's true power, because now they're subject to the higher power, but done on God's terms. And this is what obedience is all about. By being subject to Christ through obedience, we are no longer subject to the influence of the world. Obedience liberates us. This is God's plan for our sanctification. This is why the commandments were given. So this is why the church has to have a healthier regard for the commandments, for rules, regulations, for vows, you know, things like marital vows, which is absurd. Why the church teachers today are encouraging the breaking of our marital vows. This has to stop. Christ taught obedience and practiced it by his own example. He was obedient unto death. And the martyrs imitated him. And thankfully, we have one saintly martyr-type soul of our time, Veronica. Veronica of the Cross, who suffered an ongoing spiritual martyrdom. Let's put it that way. She wasn't physically martyred, but she certainly was spiritually martyred. And really, as many of the saints will tell you, that's the worst kind. And that can even gain more merit. Veronica of the Cross was a spiritual martyr of our time. She was battered, bashed, by all the diabolical agents of our time. The same agents that have stirred up this revolt within the church have also stirred up this revolt against Veronica of the Cross and the message from heaven that was delivered to the world through her. She was a prophet of our time, let there be no mistake. During vigils of prayer held at the Vatican Pavilion site in Flushing Meadows Park, New York, Our Lady and Our Lord would appear to Veronica for 25 years and deliver unto this powerful message from heaven. And in fact, we're going to hear from Veronica now. We are going to listen now to a segment of the message as it was delivered by the Blessed Virgin to Veronica at the vigil of May 17, 1986. Just to orient you once again, Veronica at the vigils would be in a state of ecstasy in which she would see the Blessed Virgin Mary and her Divine Son. At their direction, Veronica would repeat out loud the message they would give her while her voice was being taped. Now what you're going to hear is Veronica's voice, but it is the Virgin Mary speaking through her.
My child, I want the world to know that Michael is the guardian of the highest heaven. You must also tell the priest within my son's church that they must return Michael to his rightful place as guardian of the church, or they will be subjected to terrible trials. What has happened to nations throughout the world through Russia shall happen to the United States and Canada. Russia, my children, is not entering where you can see them. They are infiltrating now into every side of your nation, north, south, east, and west, on the outer fringes and the inner fringes. My children, much of the evil now that is spreading in the United States and Canada was promoted by these men and women of Satan, known as communists, who have been allowed to enter not only into your country and the countries of the world, but also into my son's church upon earth. Yes, my child, I want you to let the world know that our seminaries were not pure. Many had entered for this very day to try to destroy the faith and the church of my son. You must know that the Eternal Father will not permit this. The world is fast hurtling to a baptism of fire. My child and my children, can you not go back and read and reread the messages from heaven given to you throughout the years? I, as your mother, have traveled to and fro, hinder and yon, seeking to bring my children back to the fold. For every soul that is lost, I pine and I sigh and I cry, and my tears fall upon you, my children. My tears fall upon you. Our Lady now is crying, and her tears are falling upon us. Now Our Lady is pointing up, and high in the sky over her head, there's a large ball with a black cross on it. That means suffering. I know that means suffering for the world. We are in for additional chastisement. Our Lady is now nodding her head yes. My child and my children, if you could receive the knowledge from the Eternal Father of what is fast coming upon you, you would spend your days and your nights on your knees. All who have been given the grace to be a part of the legions of heaven must go forward in these latter days and do everything they can to bring the world back to the Eternal Father.
You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've been listening to the Seer Veronica receiving the message from the Virgin Mary at the Vigil of May 17th, 1986. The mission of Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside is to provide for your spiritual needs, and our catalog of religious gifts certainly reflects that. Of paramount importance is the brown scapular, which Our Lady has asked us all to wear in these dangerous times. You don't want to leave home without it. Our 100% wool Crusader scapular goes for only $2.95. And with that, you'll want to order your chain link wooden rosary made in Italy. It goes for only $6.95. And for an additional 95 cents, we can send you the St. Benedict Medal and Our Lady of the Roses Medal to complete your armor that you want to have on your person at all times. For your home, we provide you with the 2-inch wooden crucifix for your doors, goes for only $1 each. For your listening edification, we have some inspiring audio cassettes and CDs that are bound to captivate you. Of particular interest is our 60-minute report on the great tsunami that devastated parts of Southeast Asia back on December 26, 2004. This includes startling predictions from Veronica 30 years ago and shows how this is a divine warning that must be heeded if we are to avert future disasters, on how this was an act of mercy to rescue the children from the evils of sexual abuse and slave labor so prevalent in Southeast Asia. This goes for only $4.95 CD, $3.95 audio cassette. For those wishing to learn more about our saintly seer, Veronica, you'll want to order our 70-minute tape entitled The Warmth and Humanity of Veronica of the Cross. In a moving dissertation, Michael Mangan focuses on the compassion and down-to-earth humanity of Veronica and how she had to earn her crown through personal struggle. Veronica's close worker and longtime friend, Mary de Blasio, provides an inside look into Veronica's personal character. This also includes a stirring homily from Father Robert Skirla, former International Blue Army chaplain, on the integrity of Veronica and the Bayside message. Also, this joyfully recounts the glories and supernatural wonders of the 34th anniversary of Bayside. Again, $4.95 CD, $3.95 audio cassette. And for a mere $9.95, we'll send you our Gloria Laus. This is a fine collection of Latin Gregorian chants sung by the talented Bauer sisters of the Cape Cod Scala Sancta Cecilia. Again, that's available on CD for $9.95, a real steal. For your reading edification, we carry the complete set of Heaven Speaks Today, which are illuminating prophecies and excerpts that are extracted from the Bayside message. Each issue of Heaven Speaks highlights a particular topic of Our Lady's message. The entire set of Heaven Speaks is only $1.50. Individual issues are only a dime each. You can't beat that. And to complete your spiritual reading, we carry the official Roman Catholic Bible. This is the Douay-Rheims version, which is the most accurate version of Holy Scripture in the English language. Normally, this would run you $50. It's yours today for only $34.95. This is something that no Christian home should be without. For our complete listing of religious gifts, visit us at www.smwa.org and shop online at our secure store. To order by telephone using your credit card, call 1-888-830-SMWA. That's 888-830-7692. And that number, by the way, is for credit card orders only. And if you call after hours, you can always leave your order on our voicemail. And of course, we invite you to write for the free information. You can send a letter to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or toll-free line 1-800-345-MARY. And now we're going to get some of Father Bradley's comment on the holy grounds of Bayside as he speaks with our president, Michael Mangan.
Father Bradley from Spokane, Washington. How are you doing, Father?
Good. I'm doing fine.
And Father, I know you've had a very busy weekend. In fact, you've participated very extensively in all of the activities here. And just your overall thoughts, your comments, your observations for this weekend as a priest.
Well, I was inspired very much by so many, 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 many pilgrims. They all came, very sincere people. I was busy, heard confessions, thousands of them, said Mass, preached, and I always love to say Mass. I am a priest, and I love to be doing priestly things, and certainly here is the place to do priestly things, saying Mass, preaching, and especially hearing confessions. And it was very, very inspiring, and the people certainly inspired me, and I always feel a lot holier after being here.
Anything particularly that struck you the most this weekend, Father? Was it maybe hearing confessions? I suppose you heard many that maybe had been fallen away from the church for many years.
Yes, there were many, many confessions. There were pilgrims that have there that had been away from the church for 5, 10, 15, 20, some 25 years. So you can see the Blessed Mother drawing these people back to the church, back to the sacraments. And I feel so humble in being used as an instrument of our Lord in leading these people back to the church.
Amazing that Our Lady's powerful message has prompted so much interior conversion, Father. And, of course, the people, they were very impressed with your sermons and your homilies this weekend as well. And, well, Father, when you go back to Washington State, I hope you bring the good word back that we're praying for the priests every Sunday at an open-air shrine, enduring the elements. They can be pretty nasty at times during the New York summers and winters and so forth, that we are praying for the priests, and that all of the good devotees here, we love and honor our priests very much. And
we certainly do. We priests, God knows, we certainly need prayers nowadays with all of the scandal that's in the church. And so therefore, we certainly do need the prayers of our lay people. As I have said before, all of the heresies of the church have come from the pulpit. They've come from priests, come from bishops. They haven't come from the lay people, and therefore we depend so very much on the people to keep us priests and the hierarchy, keep us on the straight and narrow. So thank God for the lay people, and we just depend so much on them.
Thank you very much, Father, and we wish you a safe trip back. God bless you.
Thank you so very much.
You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and that was Father Ted Bradley speaking with our President Michael Mangan. We would invite you to write for the free messages and information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Our website, www.smwa.org.